You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
With the mental health system not being able to support many New Zealanders' mental health needs, experts have proposed alternatives to expensive treatments. One such alternative is group therapy, which experts have said has many benefits, including an increased sense of community between participants and decreased costs for treatment. I spoke to public health physician and senior lecturer at the University of Canterbury, Dr. Karen Mathias, about the importance of group therapy and where the public can go to access these services. What is group therapy, and what does it currently look like in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Group therapy is essentially the idea that people with mental health problems can meet in groups with a trained facilitator and get psychosocial support in a whole range of ways. Sometimes there's a sort of structured intervention where they might be working through some new areas of knowledge or skills, and sometimes it's a kind of sharing opportunity to build connection and offer each other support and therapeutic well-being and care.
In your research, you note that evidence shows that group intervention improves mental health. How does it work?
It's really interesting because I've done a number of studies around the whole area of group therapy, and particularly in this recent research, we've found that it triggers a whole lot of really positive mental health outcomes. So one way is that by being in a group, it provides a safe social space where people can talk about mental health problems. You know that other people there are going through similar experiences and form a whole lot of new social connections. We know that social connection is just so critical for mental well-being, and this offers a safe way for that to happen, which is often really challenging for people who have mental distress. Another way that it works is that having formed these social connections, someone might say, "Oh, I'm really struggling with doing the school pickups because my energy levels are so low in the afternoon and I've also got to manage a whole lot of other things." And so we've got examples of group members saying, "Hey, I could do the school pickup. Why don't you drop our kids in the morning and I'll pick up them both in the afternoon and we can stop in for a cup of tea." And so there's this mutual social support that can develop from those social connections. And another way that we know that they operate is by providing a place where people kind of can rehearse and build their skills and mental health knowledge, so that people, for example, can do a circle and say, "What are we feeling thankful for today?" And we know that changing the way that we think and expressing gratitude really changes our mood and lifts us to a new place. And so hearing other people really sort of stimulates others to move forward into positive spaces. So those are just three examples, but I think there's plenty more of just how groups are a wonderful way for people to connect and find improved mental well-being.
What are the other practical benefits of group therapy?
Well, there's some really good practical benefits. So one really obvious one is that if you've got one either clinician or a peer support worker, 1 hour of time, they can support 5 or 8 people at the same time. And so it's really good on a kind of cost effectiveness side of things, because you're rather than one-to-one therapy, which is really time consuming and you can only see one person at a time, you're essentially being able to multiply that by 8 if you're in a group with 8 people. So I think cost effectiveness is a really big one. Another one is equity. We know that there are people in New Zealand who experience poorer health outcomes because of the way that society is structured. And what it means is that we can provide care. For example, people who have newly arrived in New Zealand who maybe aren't strong in English, we can have a support group for people who are experiencing mental distress, say a group of people of women from Afghanistan, where they can find peers who are going through similar situations, support each other, get new social connections, and get really good improved outcomes. And so there's some really good evidence to show that this also works with rangatahi Māori or people who are on non-binary gender identities who really just need to find some people like them. So it's really good for equity. And I think the other thing is there's really good evidence that groups don't have to be facilitated by expensive professionals, expensive meaning they have to be paid heaps of money. And instead, we're finding that peer support workers people who've got their own lived experience of mental health problems can often do a more relevant, acceptable, accessible way to run a group. And so it's just really great for the health system, because it means we can get support to people when they really need it without waiting for 10 years to train a whole bunch more psychiatrists and psychologists.
Where can people go to access this resource or go to for more information?
There's lots of really great community mental health providers, and depending on where people are in Aotearoa, it really makes a difference. But there are nearly all the kaupapa Māori providers who are engaged with mental health are increasingly using group therapy. Lots of the mainstream Te Whatu Ora and Te Aka Whai Ora are also providing group therapy and group support, so through mental health, formal mental health services. All the Pacifica ones, like it's really growing in most areas. And so finding your local mental health provider and saying, hey, I'd love to be part of a group, how do I do that? That's all you have to do, and you know, care is available.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
I guess that when we did this study, I had actually been working in South Asia. And one thing that we really notice is that in societies that are more collective, which are less sort of individualized, like in Asia, this is a particularly effective therapy. And I thought I'd just give a short example. One group that I was involved with and interviewed a whole lot of girls who'd been part of it was a group for young women who had mental health problems like anxiety and depression. They were part of a youth resilience group, so it was a sort of structured meeting every week for about 10 girls. And these were girls who had all dropped out of school. They were aged sort of 14, 15, 16. Their parents had said they needed to stay home to help out, or a whole range of reasons. And after being in this group, the girls got together and said, hey, we really want to finish our study. We want to go up at least up to year 12. And they formed a study group. They went to each house and negotiated with the parents and, you know, eventually got themselves to complete the education. This was completely off their own bat. And I think that's one of the other things with groups, is that it really allows people to act collectively for their own mental health. So I'm just a really big fan, because I've seen groups in action and seen amazing outcomes. And that's an example from India, but we know that that is also working well for Rangatahi Māori and Pacifica and Pākehā. Groups are great.
That was public health physician and senior lecturer at the University of Canterbury, Dr. Karen Mathias, speaking to me about the benefits of group therapy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.